Greetings and welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
The unity for which Christ prayed in John chapter 17 turns out to be both a fact as well as a process. There is a unity that has been created by God, and frankly, we can't destroy it. We can't make it. It's a unity that exists between all the members of the body of Christ who are born-again believers and have all been baptized by the Holy Spirit into that one body of Christ, and who all have the indwelling Holy Spirit within them, and therefore are all members of this one body. They're all parts of this one organism that is all tied together by the Spirit of God. And you couldn't make that happen, and you couldn't destroy that from happening. It's bigger than what you are. So there is a fact of Christian unity which is undeniable and which, frankly, is indestructible. But beyond that, there is also a practical earthly side of all of this. There is a process of Christian unity which is to be cultivated by the people of God. And that's the part we're talking about in Ephesians chapter 4. And that particular unity takes place as a result of the ministry of God's Word. Christ gave some apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastor teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith. And it is by the faithful ministry of God's Word, by those men who are called and gifted by Christ for that purpose, that the individual members of Christ's body are growing, developing, and coming into a more Christ-like unity, one with another, as they understand better the Word of God, and as different members of Christ's body have a growing understanding of God's Word, then they not only grow closer to God, but they grow closer to one another. That's the way this practical side of Christian unity makes progress. That's the way this process that we have a responsibility for will move forward. It is by the faithful teaching of God's Word, faithfully executed by those who are called by God to do it, and faithfully received by those who are called by God to receive this ministry. That's what's going on. And so pastor teachers, pastors whose primary responsibility is the public teaching of God's Word, will be doing that, and when they do that, then certain things will follow from the body of Christ. Pastors and teachers minister for, we read in Ephesians 4:12, the perfecting of the saints. That is, for the development of the saints, for the maturing of the saints. The ministry of God's Word does what? It makes God's people more Christ-like, more mature. It takes the Word of God to accomplish that. And it says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. That is, as God's people grow and mature, they are equipped to minister in the body of Christ. It is not that we have a minister, though sometimes we call the pastor or the preacher our minister, but properly understood, the body of Christ, any local body of Christ, doesn't have one minister and a lot of members. It has one or more pastors and a lot of ministers. And the pastor is equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. I talked on the broadcast yesterday about the fact that churches should catch the vision that instead of weighing down their pastor with many expectations which take him away from proper preparation and excellence in the public ministry of God's Word, they should instead be doing everything they can to take as many things away from him as possible. And who replaces the pastor doing all these extraneous chores that sometimes have just been kind of expected? That's what pastors have always done. That's what the pastor of this church has always done. That's what all the pastors we've ever known have done. They've all done these things that we expect them to do. They've all taken care of a lot of the office functions of the church. We're talking about things that have to do with running the church office and getting certain things ready for the church and duplicating things and so forth and running errands and doing all of the hospital visitation and sick calls and just running errands for the church, buying supplies. And why, pastors have always done all of these things. Well, isn't it about time that we changed our expectations from what has always been to what the Word of God tells us it ought to be? Isn't it time to recognize that here's an area where some change is needed, instead of just drifting comfortably along in the way it's always been, to recognize that the way it's always been has not been the way it ought to be, and make some changes? And who should be doing those things? Anybody, everybody, all the members of the church, any member of the church except the pastor. The pastor, through the ministry of God's Word, is busy equipping the saints to do the work of the ministry. And the work of the ministry can include office work and supplies and all kinds of things, and hospital calls and sick calls and all of these things. And of course, there will be times when pastors will need to personally minister to members of the congregation because they need pastoral care in some of these occasions. But there's just an awful lot of that is just basically a friendly visit to let people in the hospital or who are sick know that they are loved and cared for by the body of Christ. And no, it doesn't have to be the pastor who always does that. It shouldn't be the pastor who always does that. It ought to be some deacons. It ought to be some deacons' wives. It ought to be all kinds of other people in the church who are maturing and growing and by the ministry of God's Word are increasingly equipped to do the work of the ministry. All of the church, all of the members of the body are to be ministers doing various things which they can do, and what they're primarily doing is taking away every task they can from the God-called pastor-teacher so that he can devote himself fully to the ministry of the Word. Now, I don't think I ever welcomed you to this Thursday, September 11 edition of the Beacon Broadcast, but I do so now, and I thank those whose gifts help us to maintain this program on this station. We had testimony time at our church recently, and one of the men stood to say that he had been in a restaurant eating at a table with a group of about 20 people, and two or three of the men who were there were pastors of other churches, and he overheard them talking one to another. He said this was a Friday night in a restaurant, and one pastor said to another pastor, "What are you preaching Sunday?" And the other pastor said, "Oh, I haven't decided yet. I really don't know." "What are you preaching Sunday?" And the other pastor said, "Well, I really haven't decided yet either." But one of the pastors went on to say, "Let me give you a website where you can go and get some great sermon outlines." And so that's the way the conversation went. And our church member who was listening to all this said, "I'm thankful that I have confidence that when Friday rolls around, our pastor's sermon is already ready to go." Well, I didn't tell him that it's not always completely ready to go, but he's right. Somebody said to me the other day, somebody who was not a member of our church, said something, I think it was on a Saturday, about, "Well, are you going to go home now and work on your sermon for tomorrow?" I said, "Nope, my sermon for tomorrow is all done. I started it on Monday, and I've been working on it all week, and it was pretty much done by Thursday." And on Saturday, I've primarily reviewed and polished it a bit and typed up my notes. But no, I'm not going home to get me up a sermon for tomorrow or to work on a sermon for tomorrow. That's already done. Now, I must confess to you that it has not always been that way. I can remember back to the early days of the ministry when there were many times when, to my shame, I came to Saturday night and prayed something like this. Oh, dear Lord, I don't have a sermon for tomorrow. I have no idea what I'm going to preach. Please help me to get up a sermon tonight, and I promise you, I won't do it again. And yet I did do it again many times. And what was I doing all week? Was I loafing? Was I playing golf? Was I just enjoying myself in leisure? Absolutely not. Those were some of the busiest days of my life. I was sometimes going 65, 70 hours a week, busy, 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 going, 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 doing, 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 working hard. Part of that was the time when our first building was under construction, and I involved myself very much in the construction of the building. I was down there working with the construction people, helping them, because we had to get this building done, and we were very limited on finances, and anything that we could do that we didn't have to pay for was to our advantage. And we had volunteer men who were doing a lot of the work, but most of them had other jobs, and there's only so much they could do. And here I was, and I could be down there and do it. And I was young, and I was foolish, and I wasn't as well settled in my understanding of what my priorities and responsibilities as a pastor were. And sometimes I worked down there on that building for many hours every day, 6 days a week, and then came Saturday night, Lord, Lord, help me. I don't know what I'm going to preach tomorrow. Please help me. Give me something. And I promise you, I'll do better next week. And it was pretty much like that until the building was completed. And then I did begin to get my priorities a little better ordered. But it took me a while, first of all, to learn what the Bible taught about my responsibility as a pastor, what my priority was, and then to begin to teach my people so that they'd know what the biblical expectations were. Because their custom and habit and observation and the way it's always been hadn't been exactly biblical either. And I felt a lot of pressure and expectations from the church to be busy doing a lot of things that really, frankly, somebody else should have been doing. I learned. I thank God for that. He was patient with me. I learned. And now I realize that my primary responsibility as pastor is to be well prepared to preach and teach the Word of God, to enter the pulpit not half prepared, not having borrowed somebody else's outline, not having grabbed something off the internet or used something that I got in the mail or out of a magazine, but having prepared my heart and mind all week long to deliver the Word of God, which has been fastening itself upon my heart for 6 days before I enter the pulpit and proclaim it to the people that God has placed under my care. And that's what's necessary for God-honoring Christian unity to be developed in the body of Christ. I think we're going to have to get back to a biblical pattern, a pastoral ministry, if we're going to see much of the hand of God's blessing upon our churches in America once again. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God